I'm gonna call Mark Wade right now and see where he is.
Discreetly.
Andy Grossberg, what are you doing all over there by yourself? There are nice people over here that you can sit next to.
Better acoustics over here.
Oh.
That's a sweet spot room.
Lively story.
He's sitting over there because he is farting up a storm.
I didn't know you knew Andy. Okay, I think that's it. Welcome! Holy crud. This is the first mic that's really worked. How many panels have you guys done this? Like, I know it's Sunday. I'm going to babble a little bit. How many panels? A lot of panels? The mics have been a little low all over the place, right? So thank you, Tech Guy, for having mics that actually work. We really appreciate that. I am getting hard of hearing in my old age, and man, you know, it's rough running up the panels and pushing mics in people's faces. I feel like a jerk. You know, one of the things I wanted to start out, and I'm going to do it anyway, even though he's not here, is that I don't know if most people, all of us read comic books and we like the concept of superhero justice and righting wrongs. And, you know, I worked with Mark for several years at Boom Studios before I went on to Comixology. And, you know, one of the things that I know about Mark is that, you know, he's never won an Eisner Award. And most people assume that he's won tons of Eisner Awards. So how many people here knew that Mark had never won an Eisner before the other night? See? did you get my message?
I said, you need your message. Sorry, my adoring public. I was just polishing my Eisners. That's
right. So anyway, I'm talking about superhero justice and criminal wrongs being righted. And I was talking about, I asked the audience how many people knew that you'd never won an Eisner before, and three people raised their hand. So we haven't really talked since you've won.
Yeah.
So I wanted to publicly congratulate you again.
Thank you.
Not just one Eisner, but three. Well-deserved and way too belated, but you know.
Thank you, Chip. It is Chip, right?
Yeah.
Chip. Have we gone more? Have we dug in?
No, I don't even introduce people.
Okay, because let me just, I want to say something before we even start. And I want to say this publicly. There was a CNET article that was published last night where some reporter was taking quotes about a bunch of industry goings-on and rising sales and Comixology. And this guy caught me as I was literally running to the CDR booth to do an interview. And he was writing, jotting down what I was writing, what I was saying. And there were some misquotes and some, there's a point in there where it says, where I'm quoted as saying Comixology is just another diamond distributors. And I know I didn't say it that way. And secondly, I know I said it in the context of comes to, if you're just delivering Marvel in DC, it's a diamond model. But what Comixology is doing above and beyond that is what makes it work and what makes it a vehicle for the future. And there's a couple of other quotes there that look as if they're, because they're just conflated, they look as if they're about Comixology, and they're not. They're just about tons of things as business models. If anybody here in the room knows me, you know that I'm not pulling your leg on this, because you know that if I have something to say, I'll say it. So this is one of those cases. So can I
wish you had said it, though, because I think you were right.
Oh! Oh. Man, hold it back, Scott Kurtz.
But for whatever that's worth, I didn't tell Pace, I wrote David and John last night, but please pass it along.
David's right here in the audience.
Good. You got it? Okay.
Good.
If I had known you were in the room, I would have been even more articulate. So,
okay, moving on. We're going to introduce everybody. I'm going to have people introduce themselves because it's Sunday and I'm really too tired to eloquently introduce people. But one thing before we begin, I expect this to be a spirited discussion, but one of the things I want to make clear is in our little dysfunctional comic book family here, you know, everyone up here on the dais is passionate about growing the market, passionate about comic books. And while we might have some disagreements, you know, I think that all of us here are interested in furthering the medium, getting the medium into more hands of more people, and expanding the market. So with that, I'm going to go left to right and have people introduce themselves, and then we're going to get into it.
I'm Chris Ross. I'm the director of digital publishing for Top Shelf and the designer.
I'm Scott Kurtz, and I drew a webcomic called PvP.
Mm-hmm. PvP is a diamond of comic strips.
I could not miss it. I'll take it.
They laughed.
I'll take it.
It was a bad joke, but they laughed.
Sunday morning.
Ooh.
Jeez. Man. You want to?
That was a bad joke, too.
I'm Chip Mosier. I'm the PR marketing guy at Comixology. And here's this guy.
And I'm Jeff Weber. I do all the entertainment, all the digital business at IDW.
And I'm a three-time Heisman Award winning.
I was as excited as you.
You were very excited. They chipped it over a bottle of champagne. That was very nice. Spike was something, but we don't have this. The rest of the day is all for it. My name is Mark Wade. I am apparently comics philosophy cure, as I am now in the label. But I've been toiling away in the print industry for 25, 28 years thereabouts. But in the last few years, I've been championing digital comics as a way of taking the form to a new audience. And with that in mind, a few months ago, I launched my site called thrillbent.com. I don't know if any of you are following that, but say yes.
Yes.
And if you're not, it's free comics by myself and Peter Krause, posted every week in installment form with every once in a while a little bonus story thrown in there for you. And in the fall, we're going to be rolling out a lot more brand new material for that site. Free to download, free to read. Come tell your friends, and it's thrillbent.com.
And so now that we've gone left to right before the intros, I think we'll go right to left. Since this is a digital comics price fight, I would like to know each person up here in the fight, what is the ideal price for digital comics and why?
Oh, my. 99 cents. That is absolutely the ideal price for digital comics, because 99 cents is the point at which even the most casual readers will drop 99 cents to try something they've not tried before. 99 cents is the price you pay on an app from the App Store if you're not sure if you really want a screwdriver that makes farting noises on your iPhone. But for 99 cents, sure. You can probably sweep by it for $1.29. Once you get further up into there, though, it feels itchy to me. It feels like my point of view, especially when we talk about downloads, we're talking about we're not competing with other comics, and we're not competing with print comics. What we're doing is we're competing with other things that cost 99 cents and give about the same amount of entertainment value.
But Thrillbin is free, correct?
But Thrillbin is in fact free. At some point, we will be putting things behind paywalls and working out revenue streams. Part of the reason we have several different projects on Thrillbin and different creators is that we can experiment with that, and one guy can go one way, and one guy can go another way, and one guy can go away free, and one guy can go advertising supported, and one guy can charge 99 cents, and we'll see what works. But that's my, if you're asking me as an overall feel, for the overall feel, my gut feeling is 99 cents is the price.
Jeff Weber.
I think, I don't think there is one price, I guess.
Well, get off it, get off the stage.
there's not one price. I think our model right now is we release all of our print books, same day as print, at the full cover price. And after 4 weeks, we drop it to half that price. So typically it's a $4 comic, then becomes a $2 comic. And then periodically we run 99 cent sales. So I think, frankly, our best-selling product each week is the highest price point.
Interesting.
So, I mean, if you look on, and I don't know if you can say or want to say, but, I mean, overall, the same day as print comics, are 10 times more than everything else, except when we, say, do a 99-cent sale for, let's say, Lock and Key, I think. Those kind of things are great when somebody comes in and says, oh, there's 40 issues of this series, and where do I start? It's a great way for people to jump right in and discover it. So I don't know what the right price is going to be going forward.
Right.
That model may change over time.
Yeah.
But right now, that's what we're going to
try. Okay.
And some are free, too. I mean, sometimes we'll put out issues for free to see if people want to send it. So.
Well, I'm the moderator, and I'm not supposed to have too much of a stake in this, but I'm going to say a couple things anyway. One thing that David Steinberger, the CEO of Comixology, talked about in an article a couple weeks ago was last year the total gross merchandise value of what Comixology sold was $19 million. Now, total gross merchandise value is the retail price of the comics we sold. That doesn't include the retail price of the free comics that were downloaded. That's all the comics that were sold and their retail value. This year, we're projecting to do $70 million. And we're, every Wednesday, the top grossing iPad app in the entire iTunes App Store. And one of the really just, I'm going to choke up here, gratifying things at the show was someone, one of the smaller publishers came up to me and said, thank you for helping me expand my business. That just really, just really made my day. So.
All right, so
TVPonline.com.
That means if you kept a third, that means you made $23 million of that, and Apple gets $23 million of it. So that leaves $23 million for the publishers. I wonder how much of that they get. I bet a lot.
Now you got to take the thirds out at different places. They're not all out of it.
Really?
Say that in the mic.
Well, I mean, here's for example. Well, I don't know. I don't want to get into everybody's business.
This is what you're here for, my God.
I think that the real question is, before you can ask what you price them, you have to ask, is this digital market the first or secondary market for this content? If it's the first market, 99 cents. If it's the secondary market, zero. I think that there's three people making money on these apps right now. First is Apple, and I apologize, I lost my voice. Arguing with a hobo. The first people making money is Apple. The second people making money are anyone making it on the aggregate, meaning Comixology, the publishers, the people who are making a little bit of money across a lot of titles. And the third group making money off of it is Robert Kirkman. AKA any outlier that's just doing so much business that his individual title is an aggregate on itself. But, you know, when you see something like Monkey Brain Comics and everyone gets really excited, keep in mind these creators that are making the content that you're reading are bringing home literally hundreds of dollars. So the numbers trickle down when it comes to you're buying a comic and you're thinking, I read this, I loved it, I'm glad I paid for this because the people that made it got paid. Might want to rethink that because very little of that money is getting to the creator, I think. So it really depends on what business you're in when it comes to these apps. And if it's a marketing tool, which it seems to be right now, it should be zero or very little. But anyway, we'll get into that.
But you have a radically different model than what Mark and Jeff were talking about. So you do a webcomic.
Well, my model is actually pretty close to Mark's.
Well, with Thrill
Bent. Hold on a second. Thrill Bent model is actually pretty close to mine because I was first. But, what we're doing is we're using the internet as a way to evangelize a readership that will then support us in other ways later.
Like t-shirts and stickers.
Even the comic. I mean, I collect these strips that you see. Well, my content is collected physically the same way that your guys' work is collected. I'm doing the reverse. You guys print it in the book first and then offer it digitally. I offer it digitally first and then collect it into an artifact, a tome you can purchase. So I'm still selling the work afterwards, but I want more people to know about it first.
Well, your model is completely different. I mean,
sure.
You know, in our case, somebody has to give Hasbro a check for publishing Transformers, but
I'm not feeling bad for Hasbro. I don't give a shit if Hasbro makes money off that digital.
I think it's somewhat. I mean, yeah. When you're an independent creator and you've got a whole business on your own, that's one thing. If you're looking at an overall publishing system that is as complex as Comixology, if you're looking at what Apple does.
Well, but hold on a second. You just brought up Hasbro, right? Well, so for Hasbro, it's a marketing tool.
Well, no, but I'll use a different example then. How about Joe Hill or any of the creators that we work with?
Stephen King's son?
Well, pick a creator.
Brian Rivers.
Chris Roberson, whoever. I think all of the creators we work with are actually happy with the revenue that they see coming from digital. It's all new revenue. But you have a different model, and you're trying to accomplish one thing. You're a creator. We're publishers, and I think you can't undervalue what each part of that food chain brings. I mean, you can't expect Apple to give every. I'll say there's one bottom line thing that I think it has always been wrong with the digital space is going all the way back of like information wants to be free. The better quote that I think is more true that from Bruce Sterling, I love his writing, is his quote is, information wants you to give me a dollar. And, that's it. Information is not free. You want to be paid for your information, too. There is no. So I think that's one of the false things that so many people think, oh, everything should be free. Well, it can't. Somebody has to make a living. Somebody has to pay their mortgage and,
Let me just interject there. One of the things that I would, the only syntax issue I had here is that I prefer to use the phrase compensated rather than pay. Because it means different things for different people. It's not all about and not that you're doing this, but I see sometimes it seems as if the conversation becomes all about the actual coin, the actual money that we're getting. And in so many cases, the compensation that we get for the information we put out, the material we put out, is not really, is more valuable in other forms. Give me an example. We've got a station downstairs where we're sharing some food space with Top Cow, and that's because we set a deal earlier this year where Top Cow said we'd like to do some material digitally through Thrill Bent because we've got the material and we've got the infrastructure. And a much smarter businessman than I would have found a way to negotiate a fee out of that and some actual cash revenue. But instead, my feeling was, you know what's more important to me? I don't have a space on the show floor downstairs. But talk about us. Can you give me a space, you know, part of your floor? Can you give me some promotion through your sites? All of that stuff was more important in terms of compensation for the ideas and the acumen and the expertise that we have and so forth. I'm not holding ourselves up as an example, or I'm just saying that when I see the, you know, we've uploaded torrents of whatever we're doing on Throwhead, and I see the number of downloads, my first instinct is not to say, ooh, that's lost revenue. My first instinct is to say, I feel compensated by the fact that there are that many people who are that hungry for what I want to do, that I can turn that into an audience that can help support me.
And since we've woefully left out Chris Ross here.
Chris
Ross,
you
do care.
Well, I do
love you.
I do want to go on record that I too don't care about Hasbro.
Yeah. Well, no, I care about them. I just don't feel sorry for any money they lose making digital comics this year.
No, I don't care. No, if you got caught in that line downstairs at any point during this weekend, I really don't care about Hasbro.
Dun, dun, dun. Chris, what do you think the ideal price for comics?
What do you think of comics?
Digital comics.
What form?
That's up to you. That's why the question's open-ended.
Well, I mean, that's interrelated with the price, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Top Shelf publishes big, huge books. It doesn't make sense to price it at 99 cents.
Sure.
We go playing like roulette.
They dole these Hershey's Kisses out, fucking gold bullion, and we fight over them.
Scott, please be aware that many members of your audience may be under the age of 18.
So instead of thinking about price as something that what's a good, like the least digital, we would put a ceiling on everything. Because $99.99 for a big graphic novel is a steal. And we try and price things so that they supplement print, right? A lot of times people say digital is fighting with the comic book shops, and bullshit. What they do is they supplement all of the print that goes on. So people can double dip. They can get a relatively inexpensive book on Comixology or Apple or Amazon and go back and, you know, yeah, I find this physical art piece valuable. And it's worth it to me to do that. So when we price stuff, we price our books, we try and do it in a way that it doesn't screw the people who are double dipping.
Right. I have just to take over from Jeff. Sorry, Jeff.
It's okay.
I have two questions. One of them, first of all, kudos to you for being the first one to narrow the question, mm-hmm. What's the price point, to being about how much content you're getting for that price point. Because I think that's an important part.
Yeah.
When I say 99 cents, my motto at Throwbent is not to say, here is a standard 20 or 22 page comic, now what I'm going to charge for it. My motto at Throwbent is more, I want to charge 99 cents for this, then using that, how much can I give you? How much can I afford to give you based on that 99 cents? So it's different than what we normally do in print. And yeah, if it were a longer form graphic novel, it would make sense that 99 cents is not, I didn't mean that to be a catch-all end-all. I just meant if you're buying a traditional chunk of entertainment in the installment form from a publisher, 99 cents seems right. But get back to the use of the word supplement when you talk about how you're doing from your point of view, the digital is there to supplement the print?
Go along with it. Be attached to it. It's not just a marketing tool.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the words that we use for digital are taken from other contexts, right? So, not supplement, but leads into.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Seduces. Okay. It seduces the reader into getting a book.
Okay. I didn't want to, whether you were talking about one being inferior, not inferior exactly, but one being less prioritized than the other. But I don't think
you're saying.
Okay.
So does Top Shelf see digital as a loss leader to push people to print? Do they see it as a separate market that has its own costs and and requirements that you need to price towards. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. We don't see it that way. What digital does is, in addition to being attached to the physical book, it doesn't hurt physical status.
Right.
What it does is it prevents piracy. And once you prevent piracy, all of a sudden you can monetize those areas where, like an issue of Double Barrel, which is a book that we get monthly. I know, it is really awesome. It wound up on the Pirate Bay within 24 hours. And it's $2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And then the first issue goes to 99 cents afterward. What's nice about pricing it that way is that the people who steal, mm-hmm. right, who acquire, are a-holes because they didn't spend $2 on the book. So it's like a moral high ground.
Does anyone have data on that? Like, does anyone know, is there really a lot of people? Or is it, like, I call it the Twitter effect. Because you see five people on Twitter saying you're an asshole, and you go, everyone hates me. But it's just five people, you know. But and then you're mean to those five people, and everyone that likes you is like, why are you being such a jerk?
Well, for me, one of the people who are calling me asshole is Chris Staros. So
ooh.
It means a lot.
I think there's a.
Sorry.
In a lot of other industries, they talk about like real stores being the showcase for people to go buy it online and find it cheaper. And but at least in the comic space, it's kind of a different thing right now in that most all publishers are showing a lot of growth this year, as well as digital is like a whole new revenue stream that wasn't there before. So not that anybody can prove this, but anecdotally, I mean, you do find, you know, emails from fans and all that. Oh, I found, let's say, Lock and Key again. Now I went out and, you know, I came to show and I bought the trade because they do want something they can hold. So, and also you have to realize that, you know, there are tons of people in this country that don't even live remotely close to a comic shop. And lastly, even 40% of all of IDW's digital sales are outside of the U.S. So those are people that, you know, are very far away from the U.S. comic shop. So.
And our schedule for them are single Mexico, the United States, and Canada, Brazil is our single biggest board when it comes to looking at how to do our comics. So that's, they can't go to Jim Hanley's universe every Wednesday and pick up their comics.
There's a huge
hand, but it's really difficult. That's
so it was really cool at the Comixology. It's the first time we've had a booth at San Diego Comic Con 2547. And at 2547, we have a video crew taking testimonials, and it was really another thing that warmed my heart. I'll try not to tear up again. This guy, Joshua, who was in the Navy, just came up and was like, thank you so much, because I'm in the Navy, and I'm on a boat, and I can't get my comics. And with Comixology, I can get my comics, and that was really cool. Thank you. So, anyway, that led to nothing. The panel about nothing. One thing I was thinking about this panel, and I was thinking about all the chatter online about 99 cents being the correct price, and I was thinking...
You want to ask them?
Yeah, we'll get
that.
Exactly.
You're going to do. I'm sorry.
I have one last thing.
It's only because we're good friends that we read each other's minds. I'm sorry.
So I thought, okay, why does everyone want 99 cents to be the price point? Why is everyone talking about this or free? And I think really what the topic is about is making comic books as accessible as possible. And so it really brought to mind for me the concept of discoverability. And so I just want to go here. I'm going to go left to right. It's just, you know, what do you think about the discoverability of what you're doing digitally, and are there things that you're doing or could be better to bring in more people to read comics?
Are you talking like in terms of discovery, like SEO or technical stuff? Or
no, I'm talking
like
about
marketing.
Yeah, just talking about yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
because don't you think the 99 cent price point discussion is really about, you know, having people discover more comics, making them accessible and cheaper, and
cheaper, sure, because it's 99 cents. I think
I could be totally wrong too.
Yeah,
Scott thinks
I think
wrong.
The one thing that we keep coming to as far as the 99 cents is Angry Birds, right? That's the thing that said you can get hours and hours of entertainment for only a dollar, right? So when you purchase a comic book or you purchase a graphic novel, if it's anything, you know, if it takes you, you know, an hour or two, you feel that if you pay $4 for it, you just got screwed. Right?
Yeah. My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think it has to do with with discovery. Free is discovery.
But if you put something out there for free, how do people know about it?
What do you mean? How do they know about Comixology? That's up to you. You got to market it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that your job?
Yeah. But I'm asking you because I'm the moderator.
Well, that's the thing that upsets me sometimes on these panels, because people assume that I'm trying to get you guys to copy my business model. My business model works for me because I'm me, and it's PvP started when the dot-com boom happened. I don't know that anyone can... Mark, was it you that said breaking into comics is people breaking in and then erasing their path?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No one can follow me unless they have a time machine. They go back in time and kill me and take my place. I mean...
That's
really
Terminator 5.
Why is this fat guy in this movie? What was the want that'll get on this asshole? But 99 cents is, and you guys can raise your hand if you agree, 99 cents is because when you pay $4.99 for a comic book and you didn't particularly like it, I think mentally you think, well, I bought a thing, I bought a comic, I can... It's a physical thing. I own it. But when you pay $4.99...
When you pay 99 cents for it...
A physical comic. You go into the shop and you buy Avengers vs. X-Men number one, and it wasn't that great. And you go, no, you know, I bought it. Like, you still physically have a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, there's a mental thing. But when you pay $4.99 to go... That's bullshit. Suddenly that $4.99 was like, I just wasted $5 on that. And it wasn't good. What was that? And I think that's the fear, right? You're going to spend $4.99 on that digital comic and you're going to finish it before you're done shitting because you're reading it on the shitter. Don't tell me you're not. I know you are. And you're going to get to the end of it and it's going to go flip, 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 flip. That was $5. $5 gone. But if it was 99 cents, you could try new things. I see people nodding. They agree with me. You guys agree with me. It's scary to spend $5 on to rent a comic.
Well, it's not even renting a comic. It's having it elusively yours.
Okay, let me put you this way.
450% growth Q1 of last year to Q1 of this year. Just saying.
I didn't say people aren't stupid. If I said to you, I have this comic,
Honed.
Do you want to read it? And you said yes, and I said it's a dollar, you'd say okay. If I said it's a dollar, and you go, give it to me, and I go, pay attention.
And all then I was...
Right? Would you pay the dollar? What happens if these guys go tits up? Where are all that money you spent?
We ain't going anywhere.
If they go out of business, I think we have a bigger problem.
Sit, Bear Stearns. Son of a bitch. We're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere.
That's what Hearst said. He died too.
Jeff, you got anything to add? You want to beat up on me too?
Jeff, just go away.
Yeah, Martin, you know, you can.
Anybody want to punch me in the face?
No, you can talk about Angry Birds, but
after the panel, Fight Club, digital price Fight Club.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you know, you can talk about Angry Birds or whatever, and I think you're right in that people that are comic fans, they understand comic pricing for what it is. You know, I'm not making judgments, good or bad. It's just it is what it is. So those people are, for the most part, happy with the price structure now because the Comixology app is here and Angry Birds is way down here as far as weekly sales. So, I mean, you know, you got to realize this is the biggest app on the iPad, and there's probably not another app out there that there's no one single app that somebody says, you know what, I'm going to buy an iPad because that one app
I'm not just an app, I'm a man.
And you're yeah. But anyway, I mean, yeah, but the challenge, and I think where you guys are right on pricing, is to attract the people that are fans of a movie or fans of Avengers, Transformers, whatever, or the fans of Joe Hill because they like his novels, whatever, in that getting those people that aren't used to comics to pay $4 for comics. That's the challenge.
I'm sorry, are we still pretending that we're not pricing digital comics to not piss off retailers?
Yes.
Because that's what we're doing, right? Are we pretending that's not the case?
Well, like I said earlier, I mean, if we were pricing digital comics same prices when they come out of print and they weren't selling, then I think everybody would be saying, oh, this isn't working. But it is working. Now, whether that model will stay the same 2-3 years, 1 year from now, I don't know.
Direct market's up 20% this year, 20% so far over last year. I mean, and digital's going great guns. So, you know, I don't think it's...
Can I bring one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Discoverability, though, is like, I think a key thing that Comixology does that I think even comic shops could take note of is putting all the new product at the same level all there together, and you're not concerned whether it's a Marvel comic, DC, an IDW, Image, Top Cow, whoever. It's just, here's all the new books. And, you know, instead of walking into a comic shop and you walk to the corner where Marvel is, the corner where DC is, it puts everybody on an even playing field. Like, in the rest of the publishing industry, nobody cares if a novel is published by one publisher or another. So I think that's a great thing as far as discoverability, and one reason that, like, we see, you know, IDW, as far as we can tell, we're doing a better overall market share in digital than in print, and I think that's partly because people find your stuff.
Let's start lining up. We got 15 minutes. Let's people who have questions start lining up at the mic and wait.
I just want to say that my problem with the theory that, okay, it's working so far because we're pricing them the same as print, and they're selling in Comixology or wherever, and they're selling okay, and there's growth. That to me is not
proof.
That leaves out the X factor of discoverability, because you're still only, I predict you're selling those still most of the people who wouldn't buy them in print anyway.
You're leaving them no other choice. Of course, it's working.
And
you have no other competitor.
But I think that you totally limit discoverability once you start.
Apple, Amazon.
Are we investing companies?
You guys are losing to Pirate Bay.
I don't want to sell comics to people who are already buying comics. They're already buying comics, and if they're going to buy my comics, then they're probably already buying my comics. I thank you for that, but you're not my audience. My audience is everybody in the world who doesn't buy comics now. That's my audience, and so I feel if I'm charging, you know, $3.99, $4.99 a pop for comics, they're going to do the same thing that they do when your grandmother comes to your house and sees comics and goes, why, I remember when they were a boy. That's $5. Well, that's a comic book is $5. And so it's my grandmother. I don't know about your grandmother. But, you know, I think that we've limited that discoverability. Anyway.
Can I ask a quick question before time goes out? I think we talked about Apple quite a bit because they're the kind of dominant force, especially with Comixology, but there's like this huge specter haunting prices called a DOJ lawsuit.
Yeah.
Right? And with the Big Five colluding, supposedly, it's going to screw everybody.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think the only person who's really cheering is Amazon.
Yeah.
Because they have the old wholesale model.
Right.
How do you think it's going to affect prices?
That's a very good question, something I hadn't thought about very much. Why don't you take 15 seconds, and explain to these folks what you meant about the collude, because a lot of them probably know.
Do you guys not know? Okay,
I did not hear this.
So the DOJ is filing a lawsuit against Apple and the Big Five publishers because they supposedly colluded. They all got into a smoky back film room and decided.
Big Five publishers.
Hatchet. Random House.
Yeah, Mellon.
Oh, publishers. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I can't remember them off the top of my head. they're just known as the Big Five, because they smoke you back for a living. And they decided to create the agency model. This is according to the DOJ. And to give publishers the ability to set price. Before, Amazon's agreement was you would set a digital price, a digital list price, and you get a percentage of that sale. About 6 years ago, it was based on a percentage, and that's the percentages of percentages, which is, you know, Amazon. But it was based on the list price of the book. And they could set whatever price they wanted.
Yeah, Amazon sets whatever price they want.
Yeah.
And they one of the things that we do at Comixology is we let the publisher set the price.
Yeah. And so because of Apple and its collusion and the creation of an agency model where you can actually, you know, make money on digital comics, so Amazon said, okay, we'll do the agency model, but if you're going to pay a fee for every megabyte you download, right, because they have WhisperNet. Which screws graphic novels, right? You can't do that. So you revert back to the old wholesale models. So Amazon is kind of licking their chops about this. The DOJ.
Can I, this is getting a little wonky. Let's go to the crowd.
Yeah.
Love you, Chris. First question.
No need for anyone to be informed.
You mentioned earlier that no one wants to subscribe to things when they own them. Know from the past, if you look at Best Mature Marketplace, which was a Microsoft venture years ago, that anybody that did stop the subscription had all this music, and then as soon as Microsoft said, we're done, they lost all of it.
Yeah.
So how can you not really say that that's a problem and that no one really cares about it? I heard that a couple of times. That, no, people, are, they subscribe, they really want
it. It's not a problem if you know you're doing it and you're okay with it.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. I'm crapping on Comixology and giving them a hard time a lot, but I own the app. I don't have a closed comic book store. I don't want to go and sometimes walk into these lion's dens. Some comic book shops are great. Some of them are fucking sties. And I would rather just go click, click. What is this X-Men versus Avengers about? Oh, it's horseshit. All right, I'm going to go to Top Shelf. I'm going to buy a good book. But what I'm saying is I know what I'm doing. I'm fine doing it. And I think that most people that buy a comic and bag it and board it and put it away are doing a disservice to themselves anyway, so maybe it's not a totally bad philosophy. But as long as you know it's a possibility and this is a temporary thing potentially, it's okay. It's pretending it's not a temporary thing that's is not okay.
Scott, I'm sorry.
Okay.
What is Comixology's position on DRM?
Yes.
Wow. Man,
shit got real.
Our position on DRM. Well, we have DRM. The publishers want DRM. Mm-hmm. And we're here to service the publishers.
No, the consumers, Chip.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, but on that, we let the publishers. There we go. Sorry.
Thank you.
There you go.
You have to live with DRM. And if we took the high road and said consumers, the very best thing for consumers is no DRM. Maybe that's true. Could be true.
It is true.
It's not always true. It's not always true.
Some consumers would choose to be able to buy Marvel DC, which you wouldn't be able to do without DRM, over non-DRM. You can choose. So we thought there was a huge amount of consumers that want the Marvel DC image IDW. And the way you do that right now is with DRM. So we feel like we're serving the consumer that wants those products. If you don't like it, it's not for you right now. It just isn't, right?
I agree with him.
So can I ask you, who's Steve Jobs who's going to get these guys to really pony up and give up on DRM?
Okay, there's. I think there are two issues related to DRM. One is, you know, where they encrypt the file, right? The second is format, right? There's an XKCD comic that talks about industry standards. There are 12 industry standards, and then somebody says, "I want to have a new feature," and now there are 13 industry standards, right?
Well, there's standards boards.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's EPUB, there's Mobi, there's whatever BNN uses, and there's whatever all of the, you know, iVerse uses or Comixology uses, all these peripheral things. And so who's going to make the player, right, that fits on iPad, on Kindle, on all of these things?
Why do you want it to be DRM-free? Why do you want
so
the comic
that,
to be DRM-free?
That's a good question, and that's not actually my question, but...
I mean, well, you're up there being pretty brazen, so why do you want it to be DRM-free?
So that I can have the file, so that I can take it with me, so that if Comixology does burn to the ground, I can go look at my comic.
You don't get that. You have to buy it in the store now.
Yeah, and that's why I buy my comics anyway. Right?
Yeah.
And there's a reason why I do that.
You have to convince, I mean, these guys up here, and not to sound like I'm kowtowing, but to, in defense of Comixology and these guys here that work for them, that's not up to them.
Right.
It's not them that wants it to be DRM-filled. It's Marvel that wants it that way. And they want to play with Marvel, and thank God they are. They're doing really cool stuff. And we're filling a room talking about it. But don't yell at them about it. Go yell at Quesada.
No.
Next question.
Driving the content to the price.
Yeah.
Right? And I recently picked up this, DC started this digital first stuff, right? And there was a Amanda Connor book, and some friends were like, hey, yeah, wow, it's 99 cents, it's really cool, you should check it out. I'm not 99 cents, right? It's in the brain. It's back to your point, right?
Sure.
I have no resistance to 99 cents.
Right.
It's 8 pages. Why did the math?
Yeah.
It's a $5 book.
Yeah.
Right? I just only got 8 pages for 99 cents. I didn't actually get it.
Right.
And I had to buy it in 4 installments, and then I go buy it in print.
I guess it's going to be a bargain. I just...
but don't you think, from a 99-cent point of view, people want a 22-page book? They don't want...
Can't
that
help. They may, but I can't help you. I don't think the measures work. I don't think the measures work at all on that. I think that you are going to get what you pay for to some degree. I think that... I mean, I like to hear it. I like to hear it. I meet people... This is the question I wanted to ask a bit ago. How many people think that just flat out 99 cents is the perfect price point for a digital comic? Show me.
For 22 pages, yeah. For 22 pages.
Okay.
How many people here would pay $30 a month or $99 a year for a subscription to Comixology if it was all fucking free?
Yeah.
What if it was $40 a year?
How many people here currently use the Comixology app and pay the price that's currently in?
Well, it depends on what you say there, Chip, because I buy 99 cent comics. I won't buy a $3.99.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well,
I mean, it's never
127 page.
I buy double barrel.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, can you talk about Autocracy a little bit? Because that was a 99 cent.
Yeah, it was an 8-page, eight page series, 99 cents. You can get it free here in Comic Con for the first issue. But it came out as a digital first, and it came out every 2 weeks, 8-page installments.
Yeah.
Also, I thought the creative team did a great job of when you talk about the content, what makes sense. It was a very compacted story. It had a lot of value for 8 pages. And I think there's a whole different process of what the creative...
In arguably most experience and longevity in the field, and have worked in every aspect of it. Again, I'm not trying to make light of the comment. I just think that a 22-page comic that does not make sense, there's just no way to make that work. I want a pony. For a brand new comic, you can't. For existing material that's been paid for in 1977 and there's repurposing, you can probably see
you're doing that based on the current market.
So hang on. We got a line here, and we got one more question. So let's give this gentleman a shot.
Hello, my name is Ken. I reside in San Diego, so I'm spoiled. I'm just a
kid.
Love all you guys.
She's by comics once a year.
I am probably one of the rare guys that consumes all forms of your guys' media for different reasons. But I felt recently ripped off by DC because the books that I would buy locally, religiously, every week at my comic book guy store, which is really awesome, by the way, they added like an extra dollar, I think, to the ones that would come with the digital download.
Yeah.
And I think if I bought your book in the store, digital ones for me for free, because I've already bought the material and support the store. What are your guys' view on that? Because I thought I'd have to share it.
If you tape that comic to your iPad, it's a digital comic now.
Or tape it
to the iPad.
Or if you cut binding.
Yeah.
And scan it.
Well, they also offer a version without the code.
Why did you buy the one with the code?
Because sometimes I have my iPad and I can't carry around 20 comics in my receiver or whatever.
I get that, but they're charging an extra dollar. They're not forcing you to pay an extra dollar because there's a $2.99 version without the digital code. So if you want the convenience, they're charging the extra buck. I don't like it, but I think it's a little more defensible than a situation where you don't have a choice.
What's great right now is that there's a lot of choice. There's a lot of choice.
Yeah. We're all learning. I mean, this is all so new. Everything. I mean,
the point being is I already bought the media ones.
Right.
And.
But you didn't have to.
No.
So.
Then you shouldn't have to double dip.
I mean, that. What are you saying? If you go see a movie, you should get a DVD when you walk out?
Yeah, Comixology apps, free download.
I saw The Avengers when I walked out. They didn't hand me a DVD. Or a book. I didn't get the novelization when I left. Hey, guy, Terry Brooks did a great job. You're going to love Stark's expanded story in this. Thanks for watching the movie.
Thank you so much for your question.
You guys.
And thanks to everybody here in the audience who showed up. Thanks for listening to us babble on. And thanks to Comic-Con for hosting this panel and all panels. And have a great rest of Comic-Con 2012.